It's hard to believe that a law that perhaps most directly affected my life as a wheelchair user is 25 years old, the Americans with Disabilities Act. It was the first broad legal step to embrace inclusion and to welcome people with disabilities into the mainstream. It was a welcome I could feel back in 1990, but there was also a chill. The ADA came with provisions that allowed employers and business owners under certain circumstances to say it was an undue burden to comply, and so they could opt out. Over the years, you could feel where inclusion was the choice, and you could certainly feel where it was not. Today, the ADA is a model law for extending disability rights around the world, but the United States has a long way to go to be a model for inclusion. While the Paralympics has a much bigger global profile than it did 25 years ago, and the Special Olympics, convening in Los Angeles this weekend, is a much bigger event. First Lady Michelle Obama will be attending the opening ceremonies. Outside of sports, people with disabilities still have an extremely difficult time getting jobs and being economically independent. Judy Heumann is a special advisor for international disability rights for the State Department. As a child with polio, she was barred from public school as a little girl, had to sue to get a teaching certificate as an adult because she was in a wheelchair. As an advocate today, she says the battles in the 21st century are about getting beyond symbols to real inclusion of people with disabilities.
You know, for me, because I had my disability when I was so young, I don't remember, I was 18 months old, I don't remember not having a disability. So my whole persona is around, you know, being an individual who's got a disability. But for people who acquire their disabilities later, what types of changes did you have to go through to be able to really see yourself as an equal member of society, or did you not have that problem?
Well, I think there's lots of changes. You have to rethink of yourself. You have to rediscover yourself physically. In some ways, that process is very personal. In some ways, that process can be very public. And if people support you in it, there's one experience. If people don't support you in it, it's another experience. And I think the diversity, not only of when people have their disabilities, but how their life proceeds after that, I think argues for an aggressive level of inclusion. When I went to college, there was only one building that was accessible, and all my classes had to be held in that one building, which was, you know, a problem. I mean, we did what we could, but now that campus is accessible from one end to the other, and viewing that accessibility, I find to be very emotionally satisfying. What was it like to visit your school as an accessible example of a state-of-the-art school all of a sudden, when it certainly wasn't in your time?
So I went to Long Island University in Brooklyn, and there were two steps into the dormitory, and there was a step into the bathroom. The dorm has since been made accessible after I graduated and after another law, Section 504, came into place. But what was very interesting at that time was there was a student newspaper on the campus. The students had done an interview of disabled students on campus about problems of accessibility. And at that time, the head of the psychology department said that students who had physical disabilities should not go to Long Island University because it was traumatic for us to go to the school when it wasn't accessible, as opposed to saying that the university needed to make itself accessible. Now there's no choice. You know, universities, when they're doing major renovations or when they're building new buildings, have to make them accessible. So the ability to really focus on participation, academic life, and life on campuses is much easier to address.
Has the higher rate of participation in the educational system by people with disabilities translated into employment for them, and have the veterans' preferences for veterans in who many of whom are disabled complicated efforts to get disabled people who aren't veterans, who don't have military service, into the workforce?
Well, I would say that employment is still the major area where more achievements need to be occurring. It's a combination of what the private sector is doing to recruit disabled individuals. It's also very important to be looking at, for those individuals who have their disabilities, like before the age of 21, the kind of work experiences that they're getting. So are they participating in internships and mentorships? Are they able to come to an interview with the kinds of qualifications that companies are now looking more and more for people to have? And I would say, yes, things are improving, but a lot more needs to be done in that regard. I think for disabled veterans with significant disabilities, like for civilians with significant disabilities, the employment rates are not yet where they should be.
And so in either category, there's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you experience this, but sometimes I experience, you know, talking to people who kind of are still looking through me because they can't quite grasp that I'm putting sentences together and able to have a conversation. Those people are in the minority, absolutely. But nonetheless, there are still too many people who don't really get that having a disability is just a normal part of our lives, and that, you know, we can make the same kinds of contributions as other individuals. Sometimes we need accommodations to be able to do that. But basically, the data also shows the level of accommodations that disabled people need overall is really very small.
I would confirm that experience of it being the minority, but it's still being there. People who are either intolerant or ignorant about the expectation that you're going to find someone with a disability in your day-to-day life. Most people believe that's the case, but there are plenty of people who look at you like you're from another planet.
One of the values of the 25th anniversary of the ADA, I believe, is that many people who didn't know what the ADA was and is now will have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about it. People take for granted changes that have occurred in our communities. The ADA generation that, you know, basically was born at a time when so many changes had already been made, inspiring them to continue to fight for the continued changes that need to occur in our country is very exciting. And we see, you know, a growing number of younger disabled individuals who are participating.
Judy Heumann, thanks so much. And thanks so much for all the work that you've done over your very long career.
Thank you too, John.
Judy Heumann is Special Advisor for International Disability Rights.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.